time to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Holly Howard.
Hey, hey, top of the morning to you. We are live today in Las Vegas from the Odds Trader Studio here at the South Point Sportsbook. Mitch Moss, Holly Howard, a fun Football Friday lined up for you. In an hour, Adam Chernoff will join the program. His three best bets of the weekend in the National Football League. Chuck Edel, final hour of the program. We'll go over some college and NFL with Chuck at that time. Of course, it is a heavy, heavy NFL and some college here today. Last night, to recap what took place, fun night in sports, entertaining evening with all three of those games going on at the same time. And that was probably the slowest or the longest death by backdoor cover that I can ever recall in the NFL. Yeah. Just and you know, so many things to talk about with that game. I don't know which is worse on the Bengals, their overall defense or their offensive line. Like, you knew, right? You knew that the Browns on the previous drive were going to try to run it down your throats. And it was just Kareem Hunt for 15, Kareem Hunt for 9, and there you go. Eventually it was a touchdown in like 2 minutes. Never had to throw the ball. And they scored. And then it was just Joe Burrow over like a four-minute stretch. How long is this going to take? And they got there. But the Bengals, we thought yesterday, were the Browns, I should say. Browns were a good play in survivor pools to use them right away in the season. They got there, but they could not cover the 5.5 or the 6, Paul.
I did that in DraftKings with Sean Harnish. So, all right, I move on to week 3. But it's an interesting game plan because you don't trust the offensive line. So everything's quick and get it out. So he sets the rookie record for completions. How do you throw 61 times and you barely crack 300 yards? And he is A.J. Green has 13 targets and he gets 3 catches.
Yeah.
Oh.
Even Aikman last night said, boy, I hope that he has 300 yards when he's throwing the ball 60 times.
Yes, right.
Absolutely.
Right. And it happens on the last drive. I know. Yeah, but my God, can you stop the run? Just getting gashed. The other thing, the first and goal from the 1, you can't punch it in.
Oh,
well, what a fiasco that was.
Some of the goal line shenanigans last night, just off the charts bad. But did you notice how I lost? So one of the bets I made yesterday on the program, and I was kicking this around like 3 different times, I bet the prop on Joe Burrow over rushing yards 23.5. Did you notice how I lost this one? Incredible. So I figured that he was going to have like 6, 7, 8 carries. He ended up with 7. And on that late third quarter, it's 3rd and goal at the 2-yard line. They come out shotgun formation. They run an RPO. He loses 7 yards. So he finishes 7 carries, 20 yards in the game. If they don't run that stupid play call, first of all, what are we doing shotgun against Dylan 20-20 at the goal line?
Yep.
Haven't we learned our lesson over this crap?
Yep.
And so that's how I ended up losing that prop last night. They do the RPO. He keeps it, doesn't give it to Mixon. And here's the defense. Boom, they swallow him up, 7-yard loss. Boom. And there you go. Losing ticket.
Yep. Well, 13 targets, 3 for 29.
I couldn't get over that.
I don't know if that's bad Cincinnati or just you credit the Browns. The other thing, too, what a fiasco to start the game. They blow the call and it takes like 7 minutes to get the call right. And Stefanski's got to use a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Bro, Aikman's like, what's going on here? But, yeah, Browns needed it. Good game. You know, it's going to be tough for Burrow. How does he handle this from 15-0 to 0-2? How many games are they going to lose? But at least they were competitive and they moved the ball. He looked good. But then again, it's just a strange game plan where it's out. Just get rid of it fast and dink and dunk and Charlie check down.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know how much of a factor Mixon's going to be. I mean, last night, forget about it. When they got down, he wasn't even really even on the field. And in fact, Gio Bernard got a goal line carry at one point. They ruled it a touchdown. Then they went to the replay and said, no, that's not a TD. But throwing that many times, Ward was good, I thought, on Green last night.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a story all year long. That Bengals defense can't slow down anybody. And that's the way the Browns should run their offense. And look, it's night and day. It's all about matchups. They couldn't do anything against the Ravens. Ravens, best team in football right there with the Chiefs. But against the Bengals, different story. But they need to get Chubb. In a day and age where passing is so big, I still don't trust, like, Baker Mayfield, if it's going to come down to an aerial circus, right? You need to get Chubb and Hunt involved in going first with this Browns offense. Yep. And that's what Stefanski, that's his game plan. That's what he's going to want to do.
215 rushing yards. There was a lot of this on Twitter, too. Why do we focus so much on Beckham? You know, every camera's on him in the pregame. Ooh, look at the one-handed catches. I believe that's now 11 games in a row without 100 yards. And he has the touchdown, but he catches it off his face mask.
Right.
He almost dropped that, too.
Yeah.
So there were some people saying, oh, about time you go to Beckham. And Mike Florio claps back about, the guy kept dropping a ball on big plays last week. So, I mean, it's just follow the money, Paulie and Mitch Vesa and the Sports Betting Network recap and Thursday Night Football. But it's just so much hype with this guy. And okay, so he had 70 yards and the long touchdown. He almost dropped the damn
thing. Yeah, he did.
He's wide open. It's him in the face mask.
By the way, later in the game, after his first touchdown, when Mayfield went deep to him, how does the official right there miss the holding call or the PI where Beckham has the defender burnt?
Grab his jersey.
The guy reaches out. He's like, he almost ripped the jersey off. And the guy's looking right at him, 5 feet away. Doesn't go for the flag.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Now, that's a good angle, though. The guy still thought of as like, well, he gets enough attention where you think he's the best receiver in football. He's not close.
Yeah, he's a four catches for 50 yards guy. Mm-hmm. You look up. So, yeah, it was a good in-play opportunity as well because it looked like they're not going to slow anybody down. Yeah. It's going to be a high-scoring game. And it was even like 43-44 early on with the in-play. And what do you make of the Celtics total? Here's another bad beat. There was a $150,000 bet at one place on the over. I mean, that thing completely died in the fourth quarter, but no foul there at the end. And I don't know what that was. The Celtics blow a double-digit lead again. I don't know what that was in the third quarter. I can't explain it.
Yeah, I lost that bet last night. I had over 208.5. So I was overall betting last night with the pregame stuff. I was 1-2-1. But basically, my expected results at the end of the day were 3-0-1. That's the way I'm going to chalk it up.
Did you have two hole-in-ones? Did you bet that? Two hole-in-ones at the U.S. Open?
Did you go back and bet it again?
No, I didn't.
We're not going to get another one today?
I'm done with that prop.
But so how good was the coaching, though, by Spoelstra? Because they actually, right? I mean, Stevens out of that timeout drew up a beautiful play for an alley-oop, but it was defended even better, and that was it. And then it just the ball, for those of us who had the over like me, the ball got deflected in such a way that the Celtics couldn't really even track down the player with the ball on the heat, so they couldn't foul, and that was the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, you heard about everything that took place in the locker room.
Yeah.
They were going crazy. But look at this tweet, though, from Kevin O'Connor first. My apologies. This is great. Spoelstra using zone more than any team during the season, not using it once during the first two rounds, and then bringing it back is now remarkable. Zone makes the Celtics look lost, just like Toronto zone did. Brad Stevens needs to figure this out or the series is over with. He's getting out coached.
Right. That was strange that they struggled against it in a 17-point quarter. That was ugly, bad. Mm-hmm. I know. The adjusted series price of Bet Rivers, the Heat are only 360. They're 10-1 straight up in ATS in the playoffs.
360 is low.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
They got to beat them 4 out of 5 now, and they're 10-1 in the playoffs.
I was fully expecting to wake up today and that number be around $5.
Yep. And I'll tell you, ride and die. I trust Dragic. The degree of difficulty doesn't matter.
No.
How about that three hit late in the game? Oh, Dragic is on fire. I mean, this is without great performances from Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
The depth, complete team, confidence, Robinson, Hero, whoever. Even when they threw Nunn in there. He's been in there in a couple opportunities. Bring Olynyk off the bench. I mean, so many guys. Crowder knocking down shots.
Yep.
It's possible that the best team in the East is a 5 seed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a funky, wacky year.
Well, and some of the stuff that you really can't explain, like the Dragic 3 was huge. Was it Robinson who banked in the 1-3?
Yeah.
That was a difficult shot. But the intangibles, like Butler running for loose balls last night and basically flying out of bounds and saving that one with the left hand behind his back that led to a layup. And there was another one where he had a steal that kind of created the same thing. They're just, they never give up. They were down and out again last night. Didn't matter. Came back, won the game. And terrific story. And I do think that he can probably, I'm going to get way ahead of myself here. Just assuming the Lakers get by as huge favorites against the Nuggets, I think that he can give them a better series than the Celtics.
All right.
Maybe I'm dead wrong on that, but.
Okay. And as the days go by and the wins pile up, I continue to hate myself even more that I took a horrible number on the Heat to win the title. I have a worse number, amazing but true. I have a worse number, the Heat to win the title, than Aaron Redding has the Heat to win the conference.
To win the conference, yeah.
Yeah, I bet him February 6th. I don't know what the hell happened. There needs to be an investigation of the whole thing, what transpired. How was that number so low? What was I doing? Why did the books crank it up high?
Right.
You know, I wanted to see what Milwaukee looked like out of the shutdown and the restart. And then,
John, can you look that up?
I don't know what the hell happened.
I'm guessing, here's my guess, okay. February 6th, they had to play that night. You must have been watching them play live.
I think they traded for Iguodala, too, at that time. Or got Iguodala, whatever it was. In that right in that span. But I don't know. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. How does that happen? How do I get 14-1 and Aaron Redding's got him 16-1 the East?
Were you?
I love that team.
Yeah.
Thought this team could be dangerous if they get in the playoffs. And then.
And I bet him 12-1 to win the East in the bubble.
Yeah.
And you got 14-1 in February.
To win the title.
The whole thing.
To win the whole damn thing. I'm going to be miserable if I catch that ticket. I know. It's like
it's a ticket you don't even want to win.
Nah, I know. It's what happened? Fontobel's got 80-1. Now, that was in December.
Sure.
But I mean, they made some moves, and I wanted to see what they looked like, too, because people just thought, again, everyone in Philly laughed at Butler. Okay, go to Miami, have fun. You'll miss the playoffs. All right. Everything Butler does works out. And the other thing, too, how about the Lightning? I mean, this is crazy. They're 10-1 in one-goal games. They're 6-1 in overtime. Mm. They won every series in overtime. Every clincher was finished off with an overtime win. And they go in game one of the Stanley Cup Finals Saturday. And I owe Mike Palm lunch. They opened at 220. I thought it'd be a $1.80. That's too high. 220. Godobin's hot. Dallas is hot. Yeah. Took out the Stars, no problem. I mean, I know Vasilevsky's playing great, too. He is locked in, and that was like Vancouver and Vegas. That was total domination. The Islanders went a long stretch without a shot on goal. They score right away, and then they were never heard from again. But, I mean, it's hard to solve Vasilevsky right now, but 220, that's too high.
I mean, Paul, last night the Lightning, they were out shooting the Islanders by like 20 shots on goal throughout the entire game. Their edge with the SOGs, they had like 50 shots last night. And they could only come up with two goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
been a lot of games like that.
Yeah, their power rating is just sick to be 220. And then Mike figured that Tampa Bay probably would have opened about $125 against the Golden Knights. And he said, here in this town, there's no way bettors would have allowed the Lightning to go off as the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Like so many people here in town, the locals would have taken the Knights to push them to a small favorite.
Yeah, and you're right, what you said earlier. It's great to have everything going on at the same time and so much to watch. That was, a day late and a dollar short with the information of what they did to the golf course. How about that? Well, you know, we didn't have a lot of daylight, so we didn't want to make it tough on the guys.
Yeah.
And then the last group didn't get finished, so they made it easy on them. Yep. I hope they make some changes today and the weekend. My God, I don't want to see the John Deere Classic again.
And neither do I.
5-under, 4-under, 2 hole-in-ones. Come on.
Well, all this talk leading up to the Open from every golf expert is, okay, this is going to be great.
They had Hale Irwin on. He won the damn thing in the 70s. He was 7-over. He won the tournament. Then the Ogilvy was 5-over. Oh, this is so difficult. Look at the rough. I'll be 5-under. 5-under leader. 4-under.
All those videos that came out before the tournament. Look how long this rough is. That Arnold Palmer, like tall boy, 16 ounces, I think it was, or 24 ounces, whatever.
Yeah.
The grass is that deep. Look at this. And Lefty, I mean, that number was way wrong on him. You know, I mean, what did he end up with now? 9-over, I think, on the day yesterday?
That's the one thing I got right. One of the few things. Yeah, he's going to miss the cut. He was atrocious. He went birdie-birdie, too.
He did.
He went birdie-birdie, and then it was military golf.
Finished 9-over. Which,
can you wish? You know, sometimes we just like to, if you want to make a large wager, reach out to us on Twitter. The guy who put $45,000 on him to win, he can't hit it straight.
You want to book that action?
Yes. Say, buddy, here, I'll take 20 on, I'll give you 200-1. I mean, there's no way in hell Phil Mickelson's going to win this tournament. And the guy just lit it $45,000 on fire.
Well, he wasn't the only guy. I mean, they took numerous big bets on Phil to win this thing. I think, wasn't it William Hill who had to lower the odds like 40-1 on him?
Well, because they took a $45,000 bet. That I understand. But I know. It's like, what are you doing?
But even after the $45,000 bet, they took two more big bets from what I understand on Phil. Even when they kept lowering the number on him, guys kept coming over the counter and saying, I need more money on him. Okay, sure, that makes a lot of sense. That was bad. By the way, this is a good nugget on Matthew Wolf. He is one back. Justin Ray Golf on Twitter. Matthew Wolf, the first player in men's golf history to begin his major championship career with 5 consecutive rounds in the 60s. I'm holding a ticket on 150-1.
Yeah, that's Indy Jeff's selection.
Knock on wood.
Along with Fat Pat. Right, Fat Pat went in my pocket. So, so far, a couple good selections from Indy Jeff Seeley if round one. Wolf and Reed. Yeah, there's a... Yeah, good tweet, though, too, about the first-round leaders. One guy had Peters, one guy had Wolf, another guy had Reed. Thomas hits the putt from way out on 18. Yeah. And then you couldn't see it because Morikawa was blocking the camera.
That's right.
So you're like, did it go in? What happened? I mean, if he misses that putt, you're going to have 4 guys at 4-under. Good effort out of Rory, too. Tiger, debacle, especially on 18. Yeah. Tough way to close with the double.
Yep.
So Tiger was 1-under at one point, and he's 3-over. For the first round, and then these guys are ready to go here coming up round 2.
All right, let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. More notes for week 2 in the National Football League here. Adam Schefter tweeted this out yesterday. Texans are working towards having up to 15,000 fans in week 4. Colts are increasing from 2,500 fans in week 2 to 7,500 in week 3. And the Titans will have fans starting at 10% capacity and scaling up beginning in week four. But we do have a ton of injuries.
Oh, I know.
This week in the NFL to monitor as we sit here on a Friday morning to track this stuff. I mean, so many guys either missed practice yesterday, they were limited, and they are now listed as questionable to play. And yep, it's just the list is endless, basically, Paul.
Yep. Detroit's got 10 guys questionable. Detroit could have a bunch of guys out on defense. Rodgers could pick them apart again.
And Galladay still hasn't practiced this
Galladay
week.
Galladay, too. There's another one, right. Eagles, all their injuries. Cooper's questionable.
Yep.
Alden Smith and Tyron Smith are questionable. What's going to happen with Lindsey and Sutton? That doesn't look good. A lot of big names. How about the Bears? Hicks is sick. Max banged up. So is Quinn. The last two might play, but, I mean, yeah, what if those guys don't go with Chicago? And the defense didn't play well and couldn't stop the run against the Lions.
Yeah. Julio Jones, limited yesterday. He's questionable, but I think that's pretty much been the story of his life, where he's been limited or questionable pretty much every single week. But a lot of guys, like you talked about from the Cowboys game, Jake Matthews, knee, limited, questionable. Tackle for the Falcons, another one. Gerald Everett, tight end, Rams, did not practice on Wednesday. He's questionable. All the names, like for the Eagles, like you talked about, the Lane Johnson, again, questionable.
He says he's going to play.
That's what I heard, too.
He says he's going to play. But, Jeffrey's banged up. There was another. Sanders is supposed to be back. But they got to get the O-line fixed. I mean, Wentz got sacked 8 times. So we talked about this earlier in the week about if you fall to 0-2, you're 11% to make the playoffs, although there's more wiggle room now with the added playoff teams. But the Dallas-Atlanta game's a monster. The Cowboys got to get this offense going, too. I mean, all this hype and all these weapons. See how Lamb does against Terrell, the rookie corner. But it was just the dumpster fire with Atlanta's defense a week. I mean, 31 of 35. Guys wide open. And you might say, well, Julio and Ridley both had a buck 30. And Julio went crazy. But a lot of it's in garbage time, too, when the game was decided. But again, Dallas can't win a close game. 1-7 in one-score games the last 2 years.
Sure.
Cannot win a close game. Okay? So it was as high as 7. Now it's 4. The total was 50. Now it's 50. Would you get 50 and a half?
I got 50.
All right, now it's up to 54.
Well, the opening numbers in this game clearly were way off. I mean, look at this. How do you open up Cowboys minus 7, first of all, and the total was 50? Did you watch what happened last week? And the Cowboys, by the way, and the Rams, I know that game stayed under, but they had 27 combined at halftime, and they had like more than 800 yards in the game overall. But so many injuries here now. I mean, the linebackers for the Cowboys, Sean Lee, you know about that one on the IR.
He's always hurt.
Yeah. Leighton Vander Esch, of course, had the collarbone. He's out indefinitely. Alden Smith, that was an excused absence. And other guys as well. Offensively, Amari Cooper with the foot. Smith, like you said, on the offensive line, neck, did not practice. And I just, man, this to me, that Falcons defense was so bad. The Cowboys, I know they're going to want to establish Ezekiel Elliott, but if they can't slow down Matt Ryan and the wide receivers here, they're going to have to open it up with Dak Prescott and company to keep up with this team. And that's why I thought the 50 was way too low.
Does Quinn have any idea what he's doing?
I don't know.
Defense is his game.
I have no idea.
It's the same thing last year.
How many years are we going on?
I mean, I know. You can't stop anybody. Yeah. They are 7-0 to the under on the road off a game with a -2 or worse turnover margin. That was one trend from Point Spread Weekly. Do with that what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a huge game. Losers in a world of hurt, no doubt, especially the Cowboys as they try. They hope they get 20,000. And in the Rams-Eagles game, I mean, this is strange, too, where the Eagles have beat them 6 in a row, and in 5 of the 6, they've scored 30 points, at least 30 points on the Rams. So was that more good Rams or bad Cowboys last week? You know, I don't know. I know this was ugly Philly. I mean, Wentz running for his life, sacked 8 times, a 17-0 lead. Then they get throttled. All these guys injured. Wentz has to play better. The one bright spot was Goddard, who was awesome.
He was very good
in the loss. So they got him going. But with the Rams now, and this is crazy. And thanks to everyone who sent it in, the 49ers are going New York, then to West Virginia, and then they play the Giants. They go Jets, go West Virginia, and then back to play the Giants.
Yep.
McVay said they're going Philly, back home.
Buffalo,
back home. He said they don't want to stay out in the same hotel, and the guys, because of COVID, you're stuck in the room all day. They don't want to do that. So he's just, we're going to fly day of the game, he said, which was his quote. So maybe it's more so what's going to happen next week that could be the bad spot for him. But the running game was good against the Cowboys, and McVay's good game plan, getting the ball out fast with Goff, at least worked in the first half. And the other thing, the guy's been great in road openers, too, for whatever reason. He's got a good road record, and he's good in road openers, too, for McVay.
Yep. Well, let me give you this. So the Eagles defense, They were actually very solid last week. Yards per play allowed. The football team only averaged 3.4 yards per play. But offensively, especially in that second half, overall for the game, the Eagles averaged 4.0 yards per play. And again, that completely flipped after they had that 17-0 lead. 11 possessions, and they did nothing with the football at that point. Because the offensive line, they could not build a wall and hold off that front four and the depth on that football team's defensive line. And the same thing, if their offensive line is banged up, how are they going to handle Aaron Donald? Who was he was tossing around Ezekiel Elliott like a rag doll in that game. That video that or that GIF that came out after on Sunday night. Like Zeke's probably, what, 220, 230? One arm, just right to into the quarterback and down to the ground.
McVay, 8-2 ATS, last 10 on the road. Philly, 1-7 ATS, last 8 in September. I don't know. I mean, there's so many of these games. I don't know why I'm in these contests. I can't find five plays this week.
Oh, I mean.
The schedule's so difficult in this game. All these injuries, and I don't know. So tough.
Week 2 already, and I told people I hate the card.
I know.
Hate the card. To come up with five games every week.
I know.
Okay. All right. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Paulie will run down the line moves and the bad beats from last night and win some, lose some coming up next.
Get a load of this at Bet Rivers. It's a weekend full of free bets at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Do you think the Nuggets can beat the Lakers? Take the Denver Dream Boost. Bet at least $50 on the Nuggets to win the series. And for every game they win, Bet Rivers give you a $10 free bet. Whether they lose or win the series, those bets are yours to keep. You must make your bet before game one tips off tonight. Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook with fast payout approvals and great customer service. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in Jersey is Play Sugar House. Bet Rivers, time for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
You know, I bet this too. I bet the first quarter under 7.5. There were two drives.
That's it.
Field goal, touchdown. I mean, come on. Two long drives, but they result in points. And I get beat there. I did one stop. Celtics Heat over 208. 46 points in the fourth quarter. No foul at the end. I don't know what that was in the third quarter. Spoelstra throws up a zone. And Stevens and the Celtics don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, outscored 37-17 in that quarter.
Yep. Bad for the books. Angels 155 up to 170. Beat the Diamondbacks 7-3. Astros 230 up to 250. Beat the Rangers 2-1. Win some. Vital Vegas tweeted this. This lady's downtown at, I think it was the Fremont. Where was she? She's downtown. She's playing the Buffalo game. She's from Hawaii. She hits 790,000. I've always wanted to play that game. It hits all the time, and it's big payouts. It had a huge payout for $1 million at the D. So she wins 790,000. She moves over. While they're waiting for the paperwork and the money, she hits another $5,000 jackpot right next door.
Sure. I don't blame her. I mean, you get bored waiting after you hit $790,000.
Oh, my God.
Right? It's going to be a while.
Yep.
So why not play a little bit more?
Win some. You can come to town now. It's official. Just in time for Monday Night Football with the Raiders. Clark County bar restrictions will be lifted 11:59 Sunday evening. Bar top gaming can resume 50% occupancy and required mask, and then they got the plexiglass up as well. So, yeah, I don't know why they didn't do it before the NFL games, but yeah, right before the Raiders and the new stadium open, they have the bars back open in the casino.
Coincidence?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what took so long, but in any event. And Blue, we'll check in with Blue today. The French Bulldog. Oh, celery. Eating healthy. There he is. Oh, he'll eat anything, right?
Yeah. Little,
look at that.
Little chilly back in New York. He's got a hoodie on.
Yeah, he loves everything. He's a little fella. There you go. Excellent. Lose some. 159. That's why we brought him here. Gems like this. Ben Fowkes. Better at 158,000 on the over in the Celtics game. 158,000 over 208.5.
How about that bet coming from Australia, by the way?
That is wild.
Damn.
And Josh Donaldson hit a home run and got kicked out because he had a problem with the home plate umpire and then kicked dirt on home plate, thought he missed home, and then he got the heave-ho. And then there was great stories. I'll tell you another dream. When Vaskersian is sitting in on MLB Network with Plesac, that's a fun watch. But they were going back and forth on time, weird ejections and with the Donaldson story. And also they brought up the Zach Wheeler injury. And Plesac was telling the story about Brian Anderson, who used to, it was a sleepwalking problem. And he said one time in a hotel, he's up sleepwalking. He grabs the iron. He starts to iron his, like he had his shirt on.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then he also told the Glenn Allen Hill story. I think he was in Toronto at the time. He was sleepwalking like a spider, arachnophobia.
Sure.
Like a spider was chasing him. He ran through glass, and he went on the DL.
I remember that story.
And someone else, Plesac, told the story. A guy got up. He wanted the clubhouse attendant to change the channel on the remote. He got off the couch and pulled his back, and it was out. I mean, it was good job, well, Vaskersian and Plesac. But the Donaldson thing, hits a home run, they toss him out of the game.
I saw this on Twitter today. First time it's happened since 1978. Ted Simmons did that. Hit a home run. By the time he got around to home plate, you're gone.
Yeah, I think he tipped his cap to the home plate umpire or something.
Yeah.
And he tossed him.
You're out.
Wild.
You're out of the contest.
That's it. How about the Yankees? Whoa.
Well, I mean, this
driving
is sick.
Luke Voigt's got 20. There it is. There's the prop cast. He had another one. They had six in an inning? Five in an inning?
I think they had 19 home runs in the three-game series, most of all time against any team.
Okay, so still, people sending out, they were coming in nonstop yesterday, even when the show was over, because people watched the show at different times. There was a guy in West Virginia who grabbed the Yankees 14-1 to win the division. They might run out.
Well, I mean,
They've won 16-17 against the Red Sox. They'll probably sweep them. We caught a bad break because the Rays swept the Orioles, but that game was tied in the seventh, and then they were losing in game two in the fifth. So, but, you know, the 3.5 back. I watched the Mets blow a 7-game lead with 15 left a while back.
It's happened before.
The Tom Glavine Mets.
Yeah.
14-1, you're 3 back.
If he grabbed that yesterday, it's a definition of a book falling asleep at the wheel. No doubt.
Yeah.
NFL coming up next. They are 8-2 last 10 games as an underdog. Breeders' Cup qualifiers and the Triple Crown are the focus of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. Jason Porwando of Woodbine TV previews the three qualifiers Saturday and Sunday in Canada. Breeder Peter Blum discusses what led to the foaling of Kentucky Derby winner Authentic. And Johnny Avello of DraftKings Sportsbook handicaps weekend races. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is available at Apple, Google, iHeart, Spotify, Stitcher, and at vsin.com/podcasts. And it's sponsored by First Bet. NFL games to get to this weekend. The Sunday nighter is terrific as the Patriots travel across the country to play the Seahawks up in Seattle. So some conflicting numbers here, but we talked about this yesterday. Seahawks 26-9-3 ATS night game since 2007 per our buddy Joe Osborne. The same stretch, they are 16-5-2 ATS at night. Currently sitting as a 4-point favorite here. The total is 44.5. On the flip side, New England 8-2 ATS, last 10 as a dog. I've seen some people who I respect, like Seattle minus the four in this game.
I like Seattle. I played Seattle. I think we're giving New England way too much credit for what happened last week. Number one, it was the Dolphins. Number two, it was Fitzpatrick, and Parker was hurt and left the game. So, you know, at times the off it was, you know, they didn't ask Cam to do much. The rushing game looked all right, and he had a good job, did a good job on the ground. And Lombardi made a good point too about the hairy fumble at the 1 yard line. Different game, it's a comfortable win, but still, I think we're giving them way too much credit for what happened at home against Miami, and Parker torched them in the Week 17 win last year. Will they take the training wheels off Wilson all year? Let Russ cook, okay? And that was phenomenal what he did against Atlanta, carving them up 31-35, all the touchdowns and over 300 yards. But the one thing that would concern me, number, what does this look like with a home field advantage now?
Sure.
With no, but the other, they were horrible last year at home, even though they had a great season. Week one, beat the Bengals by one, almost lost the game. Lost to Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints at home. Beat the Rams by one in a crazy game. Routed by Baltimore at home. Beat Tampa in overtime. Beat the Vikings by seven in a crazy game. Lost to Arizona at home. Lost to San Francisco at home. All kinds of issues at home last year for Seattle.
Yep.
But I just think they're the better team, and I think we're giving the Patriots way too much credit. And plus, Harry's banged up. And Edelman's banged up, although I think Edelman's going to play. But still, these guys are nicked up too. So, and I think Carroll will make the adjustments as well because I don't think Cam Newton can exploit the weaknesses they have in their secondary and on their defense.
Oh, I don't think so either.
I just don't think New England's built like that with lack of weapons. This is not Julio, Ridley, and Matt Ryan here.
Sure, and we also saw last week, game one, but we all know that Jamal Adams is a beast
right.
in secondary. And he had an outstanding game. He had 12 tackles overall. He was breaking up passes. He got heat on Matt Ryan. They brought him as a blitzer like the Jets always did, and the Seahawks will continue to do all the time with him. So that defense is going to be improved from a year ago, even though they allowed 6.6 yards per play last week and all those yards. But they were also in control of that game basically from Jump Street and, you know, took apart the Falcons. And I think, you know, that box score might be a little bit misleading because they led the entire way. But I did bet Russ this week plus 650 to win the MVP. Now, that's, you could say I maybe made a mistake by jumping the gun after a week one result. But if they do, here's the, kind of the gamble, right? If they allow him to open it up like that, he is arguably the best quarterback in football. He already is right there with Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. But if who knows? Who knows how good this guy is if they let him throw that many times? Because we've never really seen it before until the second half. Seahawks are... they're going to be good this year. They stay healthy, man. Mm-hmm. And boy, does he have weapons to throw the ball to. Chiefs at Chargers. You had unbelievable numbers on the Chiefs in divisional games yesterday. They are 17-3 ATS in divisional road games since December of 2013, sitting at 8.5 or 9 in some books. Certainly teaser worthy to me this week. If you can find it to go under, you know, 3 in a 6-point teaser. And definitely Chiefs and survivor pools as well. The Chargers with this offense, Joey Bosa, by the way, dinged up. He's questionable.
He is.
If they can't get any heat whatsoever on Mahomes, the Chiefs will score points. How does this offense keep up with KC?
Who's the guy who hurt his hand Thursday? The corner, I forgot. I'm blanking on a guy's name now. So Breland's suspended. And then the other guy who came, I doubt he's probably out, that hurt his hand for Kansas City. If they can't exploit that with Taylor, then they're in a world of hurt. Allen had 4 for 37 last week. So Taylor doesn't turn it over, but he's dink and dunk. And if he can't get the ball to Allen, against the Bengals, mind you, it's going to be a long game. And
it's Charvarius Ward.
That's it, Ward. Thank you.
Did not practice yesterday.
So. Yep. So, yeah, the numbers are 27-2 straight up in the division since the middle of 2015. It's a 15-1 run. They've won 10 in a row overall, Kansas City, but it's a 15-1 run in the division. But the 27-2 run in the division, both losses by 1 point, 4 seconds left, touchdown, final play of the game, lost by one of the Raiders. So this guy, with extra time to prepare and in the division, owns the division. Andy Reid's incredible here.
And here's more. The Chargers are 1-6 ATS, last 7 at home against Andy Reid. KC on a 5-1 straight up and 6-0 ATS surge when visiting the Chargers. Uh-huh. Now, I initially... like the under at 50, it's now sitting at 47. I think
yeah.
partially because of this Chargers offense again. And Taylor is going to be dink and dunk. And you're right. If they can't get anything going offensively in the air, they should be able to run the football here, right? I mean, David Johnson looked good last week. And this is going to be the weakest point of the Chiefs' defense.
Yes, right. I would think so. That's the game plan. Run the ball, chew clock, keep Mahomes off the field.
Yep, has to be.
That's the only way they can keep it competitive. Or if they are able to take advantage with these corners out and Williams and Allen have a big game. I don't see that either. I mean, Taylor's just not accurate either.
Mm-hmm. Have you done anything with this Cardinals football team game yet? Can the Washington football team do this 2 weeks in a row as a big underdog, this time going on the road, catching 7 points and shock the world by winning the game and going to 2-0? Rivera's a great coach. But offense, again, it was all defense last week.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense averaged 3.4 yards per play.
10-2 last 12 against Arizona. Somehow, some way, Washington's done that. Murray did have 90 rushing yards last week, too. I mean, how do you bring this guy down? And when he's not hitting Hopkins, and also he's so elusive to take off and run. What was it last week? Good Washington or awful Philly? Sacked Wentz 8 times, 240 yards of offense, and they couldn't run the ball either. Philly did nothing right after the 17-0 lead. So, but now it's uncharted territory, though, now. Now you got to win by 7.
Yep.
Now look at this.
No, absolutely.
Make sure you're ready for the action. Sign up for First Bet, a new betting and handicapping product from ExpressBet. Promo code Vegas500 to get a $10 free bet as soon as you sign up. First.com/bet. Promo code Vegas500. Jeff Siegel's picks coming up, and I forgot it. The guy who filled in for Jeff Siegel had an $18 horse yesterday.
That's right.
Good job.
More NFL next. This team is catching 6 on Sunday, and yet they've covered 6 straight against their division rival. Last chance to subscribe to VSiN before our rates increase. Get the Pro Football Betting Guide, more than 100 pages of NFL betting analysis, and the College Football Betting Guide with insights on every team, plus daily emails, including our experts' best bets on every sport, 24/7 video streaming, weekly betting analysis for every NFL game, Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting magazine. This week, Matt Youmans did a great job of breaking down overreactions or not from week 1. Sign up now. Next week, the prices will be higher. Visit vsin.com/subscribe today to lock in your subscription, including our football betting guides at our best prices of the year. That's vsin.com/subscribe. One thing, great job by the listeners and the viewers of the show. They're tweeting at us this morning, Paulie. DraftKings reposted American League East odds. They have the Yankees this morning at 17-1.
What?
How many games are left? Like 10? Next weekend is it, right?
Yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday. Yeah. 3.5 back.
So the thought here is just, yeah, okay. Not enough time to catch up that much.
Well, yesterday was big.
Huge.
Because Tampa swept the doubleheader. But still, the Yankees, it's not, Tampa plays the Mets, and then I think they play the Phillies.
Yeah, the Phillies left.
17-1.
Yeah.
The Yankees, you want to play the Yankees right now with this offense? They might run the table. I'm saying there's a chance. It's just way too high. And the Rays were scuffling until they play the Mets and the Phillies after Baltimore. And the last time they went to Baltimore, they got swept. But again, those games were up for grabs yesterday. They were losing in the fourth, and it was 3-1 in the seventh. It was 1-1 in the seventh of the first game. They go to the Mets. They might face DeGrom, who knows, and they take on the Phillies, and the Phillies might need it like blood. And now the Yankees are taking on the Red Sox, and they own them. Beat them like 10 in a row, whatever it is. Yep.
All right, so this game on Sunday opened up 11, which we could not believe. It's now sitting at 7.5. I do see an 8 out there, maybe a couple of 8s. It's Tennessee coming off the Monday night game, so a short turnaround, the late Monday night game, by the way, to go home and play Jacksonville. And now we had this news yesterday. A.J. Brown, who starred last year, he nearly won the Offensive Rookie of the Year. He was so good.
Yep.
Banged up, missed practice, bone bruise in his knee. So who knows if he's going to be available at this point. You would think, okay, well, Corey Davis had a good week on, you know, on Monday night against the Broncos, but he's also a little banged up from what I understand. So now they're laying 8, 7.5, right around that neighborhood against a feisty Jacksonville team.
They beat them 6 in a row at home. 4 of them, they've scored at least 30 points. It's been forever since they started 2-0. They're 14-0 when Henry rushes for 100 yards. There's the game plan. Turn around, hand him the ball. That's it. And then run all over Jacksonville, like the Paul Charchian numbers he had yesterday.
Was it 396 and 6 touchdowns the last 2 games?
Yes. Yeah. Henry owns Jacksonville. And Minshew was great, 19-20 in the win, but I think that was more bad Indy in a bad defensive performance, and Rivers turning the ball over too. But still, Minshew played well. But yeah, the point spread was out of control, but still. And the Titans struggled. But again, you know, what happens if they got to trot Gostkowski out there again? I mean, what a mess that was. Mm-hmm. So it was a misleading score where they kept missing field goals and they couldn't punch it in the end zone as well. But they've dominated this matchup at home, and they've done what they wanted, especially Henry, too. But still, those injuries concern me.
You okay with Titans and survivor pools?
I'd rather go Chiefs.
So would I.
Yeah.
I think you could find better opportunities and save Tennessee against some, you know, I don't know if they're going to have any, many better spots than Jacksonville at home later on in the year. But
and I know this is the game that Tomlin loses a lot, but I'd rather go Steelers because, I mean, all these guys might be out again with Denver.
Yeah.
You know, what if you don't, you're not going to have Lindsey, Sutton's banged up. You know, what if you don't have these guys too? How are they going to go on the road?
Yep. Also Sunday, Vikings play at the Colts. Now, this total was interesting. It opened up 46.5. Look at where it's at right now. It's 49. I actually see a 49.5 out there right now. Who knows how high this is going to be. And if the Vikings play in another shootout where the defense is just terrible, you're going to see this team with totals in the 50s. And this one actually might get there before kickoff.
I don't think it changes. Most points allowed in a season opener. Most points and yards allowed under Zimmer. Hideous display. Thielen had 6 for 110 and 2 scores on their side. So to me, you just find just go after and hunt Rhodes. Rhodes left Minnesota. Now he's on Indy. He can't cover you. So I would go after him and take advantage. And I agree with what Paul Charchian said. In fantasy, look or props, play Hilton and Campbell. And Hilton will bounce back after ever having some big drops in the game Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And that haunts him. And once again, Rivers keeps both teams in the game. That is the 7th time since last year he had a game with multiple interceptions.
Sure.
He'll kill you. He'll kill you. So, huge game. Loser in trouble. But I think it's going to be another shootout. And at least you like what the Vikings did on offense. But all these guys out to play like that under Zimmer defensively? Most points and yards allowed under Zimmer.
I don't disagree. By the way, they did average 7.8 yards per play last week, which was number one in the NFL with a bullet. Could be a little misleading. They were down and out and getting kicked in the head over and over and over again right away in the game against Green Bay. So obviously the Packers defense would maybe lay off a little bit. But look at this Vikings schedule coming up with potential high-scoring games. Sunday against the Colts, okay, week 3 Tennessee, maybe not. After that, they play at Houston, at Seattle, and Atlanta at home before they play Green Bay again on the road in Lambeau November 1st after their week 7 bye. It doesn't get any easier for this defense, man.
Nope. How about the showdown in the North and staying with the North with Detroit and Green Bay? I had that Rodgers stat from Mark Lawrence. 13-0-1 straight up, 11-3 ATS at home against a division opponent first 6 weeks of the season. Detroit just can't close. But 43 points, 500 yards last week. They've won 7 straight home openers. And what happened last year, they swept Detroit but never led in regulation. Amazing but true.
Well, look at this.
And Detroit cannot now, first of all, Detroit's lost 10 games in a row. That's one thing. But it's not 11 times? 11 times under Patricia alone, they've had a lead in the fourth quarter and lost the game. Impossible. Impossible. And our guy Stafford is now 69-80-1 in his career. 2 touchdowns, but out of 5 trips in the red zone. They got a good rushing attack with AP. He had more on the Bears coming up. He had 93 yards against the Bears, but they blow a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. So I would think with all these guys out, I mean, check the status of Galladay, but all these guys are banged up on the defensive side for Detroit.
Oh, I mean,
Rodgers might do the same thing.
They could be down four cornerbacks, I believe, is the total number as of right now, if it all breaks that way and they all miss that game. So now this number is not only up to 6.5. This could touch 7 with Green Bay being such a public team at some point this weekend. This total also opened 46. It's at 49 or 49.5 right now. Could be an absolute repeat of last week. And, you know, Green Bay could get up big and Stafford's going to pad his stats like he normally does. They've actually covered 6 straight against Green Bay. Mm-hmm. 6 in a row. So every game since 2017, this team has covered. But last week, just back-breaking losses against Green Bay. And
how big's the Taylor injury?
Potentially very big. Yep. Because they had everything going last week. What, they have 522 yards of offense?
Mm-hmm.
It was...
Guys are running wide open.
A little bit of Adams, a little bit of Valdez-Scantling, and here's some Aaron Jones for you, right, you know.
And deep shots.
Oh, sure.
Repeatedly deep shots.
They were
shots
not afraid to do that.
And that's what Rivers will probably do Sunday as well. And how about the Bears? Can the Bears go 2-0? And it gets actually some confidence with Trubisky. But with the injuries, and we'll see what happens with Mack and Quinn, they couldn't stop the run last week, and that was cause for concern because they were so good against the run last year. The Bears were also 2 of 11 on third down. They sacked Stafford once and gave up 420 yards. And the Giants, 12 wins the last 3 years. How about, and we'll see what happens with Barkley here, can the Giants get Barkley going after that embarrassing performance on Monday night? And is it true what Tiki Barber said? He's not an every down back. He doesn't want to hit anybody. He can't pass protect. He's a liability out there, what Tiki Barber said on his show. So that's been all the news back on the East Coast of what Tiki said about him. But the Bears defense can take it away. And who gives it away? Jones.
Yeah.
So
Danny Dimes. Well, here's the thing. The Lions actually ran the football against the Bears last week.
That's why, no. That's so, why if you can't get Barkley going here.
Well, but the Giants offensive line, though, is also nothing
horrible
to write home about.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Three new starters, right.
Well, I mean, this is going... So here's the narrative here. Unless Barkley leaves at some point to go to another team, as long as this team is completely miserable and lousy, they are going to, you know, people nationally will never stop saying you cannot take a running back number 2 overall.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. That's going to be the whole thing. Like, why would you do that in, by the way, a very heavy quarterback draft? Now, jury's still out on some of the guys that won the first round, but that Barry Sanders-esque game on Monday night, the offensive line was so bad, as soon as he touched the football, there were like 3 guys on him. What are you supposed to do? It's like Mixon last night.
Mm-hmm.
People are mocking me on Twitter when I said, how is Bernard getting the goal line carry? They're like, have you seen Mixon? Have you seen when Mixon touches the ball? There's like 2 linebackers in the backfield the second he gets his hands on it. What are you supposed to do if you're the running back? You're going to go down.
Well, I mean, what Trubisky am I going to get? I mean, what offense?
Who knows?
I mean, that they did nothing for 3 quarters and then came alive and he looked like Joe Namath in the fourth quarter. But, you know, I think this would be a low-scoring game.
Yeah,
cause for concern would be what happened on third down. They couldn't do anything on third down. They were just as bad as the 49ers. And I don't know what to do with that game. I mean, because Paul Charchian's right. The only thing the Jets do well is stop the run. And now Sherman's out. It's a completely different defense. Look at the numbers when Sherman's out for the 49ers. Okay, and then with Samuel and Ayuk and Kittle's status and the travel, I don't know. You want to go to war with Garoppolo in leg 7, 6.5? Be my guest.
Put it this way. I'm not even comfortable with the Niners in survivor pools or on teasers this week.
Yeah.
I'm avoiding that game.
1-13-1 ATS since 2014 as a road favorite against teams with a losing record. The stats are alarming when they don't have Sherman. Oh. And they got, and they had the 76-yard touchdown. They had the early lead. They put Garoppolo in a good position. They still lost. The block punt was big, but they still lost the game at home.
More on this game coming up in the next 2 hours. Texans catching 7 at home. Can they cover this against Baltimore?
This could get out of control.
Oh, absolutely.
They can't stop the run.
This could be a game.
They got gashed last week. They couldn't stop the run last year.
Right.
I mean, who knows what Baltimore could do to them on the ground?
It's you know. Looking at it right now, it's like, okay, great offense. Watson's awesome. 7 points is a lot. We might be looking back on Sunday night saying, how were they only laying 7 points in that game? Adam Chernoff joins the program next. His 3 best bets in the NFL coming up next.